The following is message number 7 of the 2018 Midwest Team Reunion.
Okay, praise the Lord for the Lord's Day.
Amen.
Anticipating much joy in the Lord with all the saints.
Amen.
Looking forward to the Lord's table, which will be coming up here soon with all the saints. Enjoy Him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's gathered us. All right, let's continue our fellowship. We can go on to page 6. This is about raising up a community life on the campus and cultivating a gospel atmosphere. And this one's more directed to the students. So we've been spending a lot of time on the full-timers, more-timers, which principles apply to all of us because we're all full-time. So I hope that's been helpful to you. We've been burdened. Well, maybe before we get in this message, we could look at on page, let's see. Let's go to page maybe it's in the history section about the past. Oh, yeah, it's okay. It's on page 21. These reunions have been going on for a while, since 06. So we had a few before then. But anyway, starting here with 06, you can see the history of the content of team reunions from 06 to now. And if you look at 06 to 2010, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them are really focusing on vital groups. You see the term vital groups for the building up of the body of Christ. This is Brother Lee's real burden at the end of his ministry there, especially the God-ordained way. What emerged was the grouping of the saints. We'll be touching on that a little bit today. Saints that aren't grouped with other saints, we really have a concern whether they're going to continue in the church life. It's so important that we're related to one another, at least twos and threes. So we spent 5 years in these reunions focusing on that one topic, looking at it in different ways, the vital groups. And it happens in the homes. The homes are a great spot for that to happen. Sometimes it's several couples that are vital with full-time or some students. But the grouping, the relatedness is critical. So the term vital groups emerged. That's our term. Other Christian groups use D groups, like disciple groups. What's another term they use? Cell groups. D groups, cell groups. There's other terms, but it's very common and it's very necessary to have community relatedness with other Christians. So we spent 5 years on that. Then in 2011, we brought in the full-timer students and community saints. So we started including in the reunion the students and community saints. Praise the Lord for the team. All saints are needed. And then in 2012, the apprenticeship was winding down. We had probably all the churches who wanted a team and could afford a team and a burden for the campus in the United States and about 25 abroad had been with us. So then we began to focus our attention in Austin. Up until that time, it was focused on these full-timers coming. We'd have as many as 30 full-timers a semester. And so our full-timers were really concerned or spending our time with them so that when they went back to their church and their campus, they would be able to continue and survive. And most of them did. We lost a few. We've also multiplied and gained a few. It's a great experience. But then in Austin, we began to focus on the students and raising up the students. So we started, the reunions reflect in 2012, perfecting the student, the saints under the work of ministry. And then you can see 2013, building up a labor on the campuses, 14 perfecting students, 15 perfecting students, 16 training and equipping students, 2017. So that's about 5 years of focusing on mobilizing our students, getting our students involved, raising them up. And then 2017, we had back to the threefold cord, campus, full-timers, students, and the critical role of community saints. And then this year, we had fellowship under the furtherance of the gospel. One of the questions was, what is the burden for this reunion? Well, it's fellowship under the furtherance of the gospel. So we like to, once you see the base and the way the Lord has the church from house to house enjoying him, taking their food with exaltation, praising God, there's a reality of his body, then the Lord likes to add to that daily. We had the verses in Acts, which once the Lord has this reality of his body, then he likes to add to it. And so we have the God-ordained way bringing us into the functioning of the saints, fruit-bearing and shepherding, so then the Lord can add. So fellowship under the furtherance of the gospel is the content or the theme of this particular reunion. And we covered full-timers, and now we'd like to go on to raising up a community life on the campus. Just a quick review. Go back to page 13. So this is as of the fall 2017, shows the different campus teams throughout the U.S. Southern California, Northern California have quite a few teams, South Central Texas areas. Got teams, and then, of course, we want to raise up more teams in the Southeast and in the Midwest and the Northeast, too. But this shows where we are today. Then you flip the page, and you can see 14. The number of campus teams we have is at 59 right now. In the last semesters, we've actually added some teams. It was kind of flat line there from fall 10 to fall 16, but then we've had some additional teams, and we hope we can raise up more teams. So we hope this trend will continue, especially in the Midwest, where we've calculated that we're on about one quarter of all the major campuses in the U.S. That means the funnel that Chris referred to the other day, when all these kids come to the campus for 4 years, and so we have nets. So 75% of the major campuses, there's no net. And so fish are just swimming through. Many of us met the Lord and got in the Lord's recovery when we were in college. So we know that's a primary fishing place. So we hope that trend will continue, and we hope the teams of the Midwest will be strengthened. That's probably the first order of business before we expand, but we need more full-timers to come forward. How about all the ones that have been to the full-time training? Why don't you stand up if you've been to the full-time training? Wow. Okay, how many of you are serving full-time? Your hand, job serving. Okay, that leaves some others. Look at this one right here, this big guy right here. Look at this fine-looking young man here. And this one lives together. Garrett, come on, Garrett. And who's your, you have one more roommate.
Danny,
are you here?
And Jake.
And Jake?
Yeah.
Where are Danny and Jake?
Jake's over here. All right.
Come on, Danny and Jake. Wow, look at this team. Hey, how about it, brothers? Why don't we, I got a dream. We just hop in the car and we start traveling around Ohio to the campuses and we start sowing the seed of life.
Amen.
And we just start meeting people and sharing God's economy.
Amen.
Campus after campus, locality after locality. You ready to go? You ready? Let's go. Okay. All right. And I mean, what? Lord Jesus, these precious young lives. And I just like to scatter them all over the place and they could raise up young seeking ones. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay. So then, the next page is some campus teams worldwide outside the U.S. That's page 15. Page 16 is our number of full-timers. The top line is on all the campuses worldwide. And then the lower line is just the U.S. So you can see we've been around 325 for the U.S. That's been pretty flat. So we're not adding very many full-timers to the teams. That's another reason why we're focusing on the students and the homes is we're not gaining much ground with full-timers. We need more full-timers. I can't remember the number we decided we need in the U.S. Was it 100?
Yes.
Yeah, so we're still short. The Lord is calling. So that's where we are on our U.S. teams. And then the next graph, page 17, shows a number of full-time trainees. This is FTTA. This is only one of, I think, 16 trainings in the whole world. So we're just looking at one, ours, in Anaheim. The three lines, the top line, shows all FTTA trainees. Per semester, and then the dotted line below that backs out the number that are sent from foreign localities. So that's all the foreigners. There's about 56 of those, so that brings us down to 304 that are sent from American localities, and then you back out the U.S. sent. You back out the ones sent by U.S. localities that are foreigners. That's an F1, M1 visa. So they're from a foreign country, but they're sent by a U.S. church. So you get down to the Americans, which is 263. And you can see since about fall 2004, it's been, you know, if you drew a line, it'd be probably pretty straight between 04 and 17. That's about 13 years. At least we haven't gone down, but it hadn't been going up either. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the number of trainees, it used to be climbing. Then we got to like about 250 might be the average for the last 13 years. So at least we're holding that, but it'd be great. It'd be 500, 600. I mean, it's the greatest place on earth to get infused with God's economy and the ministry of the age. And why can't more young people be in that divine radiation, receiving the Lord's heart, the Lord's purpose, the Lord's mind? And wow, so we hope we can have more trainees. Okay, then the next exhibit 18, that tracks the percent of full-timer as a ratio of the graduates. So that's how many FTTA graduates end up serving. And you can see a downward trend there, and especially if you look like from the spring of 2010 until now, it'd even be a steeper slope downward. So it means back in 02, 04, 70% of the FTTA graduates went and served. That's a pretty high number. That was great. A lot of that was due to the apprenticeship and raising up new teams. And then lately, the numbers dropped down to around 20%, 30%. That means 3 out of 10 of the trainees end up serving. So we'd like to see that ratio increase too. Okay, then G on page 19. We're still collecting the stats for 2017, but this is very encouraging, the summer internship programs, which may not be in the summer, it may be more just before class starts, but this is where the students called internship, and they get involved with the full-timers on the campus, meeting the incoming freshman class, preaching the gospel, helping people read the Bible. So they're active. So this is a great improvement, and that's been up in the 500s. And there are the particular campuses and the states and the number of interns for each and the campuses there. So that's a positive trend. I hope it keeps increasing. The students know what we're talking about when we say an internship. Students are aware of that. Yep. Not all the campuses have the same opportunity. If your campus doesn't, you can inquire, is there a nearby campus that you could intern? We take interns in Austin from various places. They like to spend their summer with the other students on the campus and a great church life and group fellowship and prayer, reading the Bible, meeting people. So it's a tremendous way to spend your summer, especially after your freshman year, sophomore year. As you progress in your college career, more pressure to get an internship with the company, actually degrees to require that. And then you're going to be exiting the campus. And then you'll be out of the, you'll be off the campus. So I was talking to the Madison brothers. We're all in the same hospitality. There they are right there. Matthew, why don't you stand up, Matthew? And Caleb. And then where's Bart? There's Bart. See these fine young men? Look at these guys. Here's another group I like to go traveling with through Wisconsin. They eat a lot of cheese. Oops, they eat a lot of cheese. Need to eat a lot of Christ. He's the real cheese. So all these fine young men, look at them. I just drool. I'm just so happy.
There's another one.
Another one. Oh, pretty close. So all these three have quite a few things in common. They love the Lord. They're here in the reunion, so they're interested in what the Lord's doing, the Lord's move, and they're Midwesterns. And they're also all going to graduate this May. So they're going to get that piece of paper that they've been working on and so happy to have it, but they're going to lose something else. What are they going to lose? Student status. That is so valuable on a campus. So I know Brother Dave's been, Bart, I heard Dave, you told Bart, you have 10 weeks, Bart. And Bart's going, what am I supposed to do in 10 weeks? He was telling us at breakfast this morning, Brother Dave told me I didn't have 10 weeks. I'm kind of nervous. What am I supposed to do? Yeah, it's kind of hard to have a baby in 10 weeks. It takes 40 weeks. Okay, thank you, brothers. Just so thankful for these brothers the Lord's given this generation. Brothers, it's going to be in your hands. We need to transfer all the Lord's doing into your hands. Okay, then you keep going. Page 20, won't get into the details here, but this tracks our church kids. Basically, what you can gather from this is that about of our high school seniors, about 10% of them go to training after 4 years of college, and then you get on maybe by 3 or 4 years later. You know, somewhere on a 5-year plan, 6-year plan, it goes up to about 20%. So of our high school seniors, eventually about 2 out of 10 end up in the training, which is good. Okay, and then let's see what else. We went through page 2022. Then you can flip over to page 27. And this shows our college, this is still high school seniors, which hovers around 450 to 500 nationwide. And how many of those attend a college in a city with a church or a group of saints? A little over half of them. And then attending a college in a city with a full-time team, less than half of them. That means they may not be cared for. They're out there on their own, possibly, so that's a little risky. But maybe they're in an area close to church, so we should know where they are, and we should visit them and encourage them. And then you flip over to page 30, and this shows the follow-up stats. What we do is we get the names of the high school seniors. How many high school seniors? Do we have any high school seniors in here? Right, stand up if you're a high school senior. Okay. All right. Let me see if your names are on here. Let's see if we did. Let's see if the brothers did their homework. Let's see, what page is that going to be, brothers?
28.
28. Okay. You are Karen. No, you're Amanda. Sorry. And you live in Fairborn. And Amanda Floyd, there you are. Good job. Okay, and you are who? What's your name?
Spencer.
Spencer, where are you from?
Here.
You're from Fairborn. Okay, there you are. Fritz. Okay, what's your name? Are you there? Okay, good job. Okay. Just checking on you. That's right. We got your number. Are y'all going to go to college? Okay, so the brothers need to let us know what college you're going to go to. A lot of students stay local, so you stay plugged in. Many students go to different cities, actually cross state borders. So we don't want to lose you. You're precious. We're going to get into that in just a moment, how precious you are to the Lord. And then page 30, when we get this list of high school seniors, and then we ask all the campuses to tell us who's on their campus, then we cross those two lists and see if we know where our high school seniors went. And you can see from the history, we don't do that great a job. These are a little bit of history. Back in 2014, we accounted for about 70% of high school seniors. We found them on college campuses. you see that number? It's 2014 under U.S. total, about four lines from the bottom, 70%. 2015, 16%. 2016, 39%. And then we're just working on 2017. So we're asking for the brothers to give us the list of their college students so we can update 2017, 2018. So if on page 31 and 32, if anybody knows the whereabouts of these high school seniors from the Northwest, you can let us know where they landed so that we can make sure they're plugged in. And then Exhibit I on page 33 is the number of college age saints, and that's been hovering around 3,000 to 3,500. So it's been steady. It'd be good if it went up, but that's where that is. Then flipping to 35, if you want to find the club on one of the campuses, you have some information there. The school, the organization, the name, a contact person, email, and phone number. So we can contact each other. If the students transfer universities, they want a fellowship for blending trips, can find us on the different places. Then 39 and 40, just information on the contact people. And you can update that for us too, brothers, if you'd like to tell us who to contact regarding high school worker, college worker, elder responsible one. We can stay in touch with our young people. Okay. Let's come back to page 6. Okay, let's read the title again.
Raising up a community life on the campus.
Okay.
Cultivating a gospel
atmosphere. All right. So having just looked at some stats, you realize our number of full-timers is not going up. Our number of college students is pretty flat, 3,000 or so. And so how are we going to expand? How are we going to press on? And that would be to raise up the students to be active and burdened. So we'd like to talk about that a little bit. So number one, Roman numeral one, let's read that together.
Encourage our students to have one or two companions with whom they gather into Jesus' name. Bible reading companions are recommended.
Okay, so just a basic building block in the New Testament is twos and threes. Whenever two or three are gathered, there Jesus is. So if we want his presence, we just need to have one other together, and he's going to be there. And if he's there, then something's going to happen. So we want to gather in his name, so we work on having all of our students companionized, having somebody else that they are related to. They might be reading the Bible with them. That doesn't mean they necessarily meet together to read the Bible, but they have a reading Bible companion. They hang out together. They pray together. They have some spiritual life together. They maybe live together. So we need another person to go on to run this race. You know, when working out physically or doing your academic studies, if you have somebody else, you're much more likely to get through, right? Get the job done. So companions are critical in building up the body of Christ. And then Roman numeral 2, let's read that.
Gathering our existing students in the homes and on campus to cherish and nourish them.
Okay, so gathering them in the homes, house by house, and on campus to cherish and nourish. And then we have the Acts 2:46, one of our favorite verses. That's the beginning of the church life, and the pattern we should follow is to be gathered house to house, day to day, enjoying the Lord, taking our food with exaltation. So this is the gathering of the students. So we do that off campus in the homes, and we do that on campus in Bible studies. I was talking to Madison's brothers again. They have 5 Bible studies a week. So they do that quite frequently. It gives opportunity for the believers to come together. And that's just to have spiritual food, but there's also the need to gather, just to be together for community. And we want to get into that a little bit here. This gathering is the community. If we don't raise up a community, then the young seekers will find community somewhere else. I was just in El Paso in August to help them get their club started, and we contacted a number of people. We had, by the end of a couple of weeks, we had five brothers, new brothers, who were responding, most responsive ones. And I was just back there for the GTCA last week, and I was wondering about where these five are. Well, they're not around. One of them moved to Austin, actually, so he's meeting with us at UT Austin. One moved to Korea. He was a semi-church kid. Another one got real busy with school, so he hasn't been around. Another one's a master's student, and he's still around, but I didn't see him the last 2 weeks, but I think we probably will gain him, possibly, Peru. And then the fifth one was one of the most promising ones, and I saw him on the campus three or four times. He actually came to a couple of our events, the cookout, and every time he was with his community. So guess what his community is? It's the Baptist Student Ministry Group. And he brought some of them to our cookout. Of course, they were not interested in joining us, but that's every time I saw him, he was with his companions, with his community. So I asked him what's going on. He says, well, we have the BSM has a lunch on Wednesday. We go hang out there. Then we have this activity and study with these ones. And so there's a community. So we couldn't provide that community. Even though we have five freshmen at UTEP, that's the University of Texas El Paso, there's a great opportunity because five of the church kids now started that campus, so we're trying to capitalize on this opportunity. And the problem is the church kids in that particular locality, they're close to one another. Mainly it's Hispanic in El Paso. The city is probably 95% Hispanic, 85 or 90. The campus is about the same. And they're very much family-oriented, and the church kids are very close-knit. So the problem is that the ones that were responding to our outreach, the church kids are very inward-facing. So the new ones couldn't get into the community. It's like here, you three right here. It's like these are church kids, and we'll have a Bible study, and they're all ganged up over here, and they're talking to each other, having a good time. The new one's over here, and it's like they don't recognize that there's someone that's seeking the Lord coming amidst them. They're just very inward, we call it inward facing. They're very comfortable with each other, happy with each other. One of them's a boyfriend, girlfriend, so they're kind of, romantic. Their heart and their being is occupied with each other. And so when someone is, wanting to get into community, it's kind of closed door. It's not very welcoming. Yeah. Like, what are you doing here? Why are you here? And so we're in the process of helping them mature in life and become more out-facing. Like, it matters. Like, I'm a person. I came to your event. I'm a stranger here. I'm interested in the Lord. I'm interested in the Bible. Is anybody interested in me? So that's where we are, and because they were like this, then when Daniel, was around them, he couldn't find community. So he ended up going to the BSM where there's community. So until we raise up community, it's going to be hard to catch. We may catch one or two here and there, but we're not going to gain men like a flock because they're looking for companionship. They're looking for friends. They're looking for where I belong. Where are my friends going to be? Yes, we have the truth. Yes, we have the greatest ministry. But if there's no community, then they can't make progress. It's like the church life. Where would you be in your spiritual life if you just had the ministry but there was no church life? Think about it. We take the church life away from you and just leave the ministry in your hand. The ministry is to raise up churches.
Amen.
The ministry exists. That's why Paul traveled and spoke the word to raise up what? Local churches, raise up community. Community is huge, especially at a young age when they're trying to find their way, trying to find their identity, trying to find their people, trying to find what pathway they're going to take in life. Community is a huge percent of gaining somebody. We have to have the truth, obviously, but without community, we're not going to gain many people because they can't get in. They're looking for, an 18-year-old is looking for friends. He's looking for who I'm going to hang out with, who I'm going to work out with, who I'm going to study with, who I'm going to eat with, where do I belong? Okay, thank you. Now, you know, some people are more independent, and they're going to find their way. Even we don't provide that much community, we're going to catch one or two here. There's people like that. But if we're going to gain men like a flock means community. A flock means people that are related. It's sheep are related. They flock together. That's a group right there. When it says men like a flock, that tells us community. It's not like a sheep here and a sheep there. You know, a sheep over here, a sheep over here. It's a flock, a group. So that's what the need is on campuses, raise up. And some places like Knoxville, Lubbock, others are breaking into this ability to have a community where they're gaining men like a flock. There's a community there, a community life where people can enter in and they can find their friends, they can find companions, they can go on with the Lord. And so they're not just gaining one or two, but they're gaining numbers, right? Okay, so then number three, let's look at this. Our students, let's read it together.
Our students.
Very good. So this parable, I think you're familiar with it. How about someone read verses 24 through 30 for me? Come on, Cody. Here, you want to read for, 24 through 30, yeah.
Actually, I can use this one.
Another parable he set before them, saying, "The kingdom of the heavens has become like a man sowing good seed in his field. But while the men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares in the midst of the wheat and went away. And when the blade sprouted and produced fruit, then the tares appeared also. And the slaves of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did the tares come from?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' And the slaves said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and collect them?' But he said, 'No, lest while collecting the tares, you uproot the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at that time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, collect first the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them up. But the wheat gather into my barn.'"
Okay, good. So the good seed, of course, I've already given away. What's the good seed here? Some people, when I've asked this question, they say, "Oh, it's the Word. Oh, it's the divine life." What is the good seed here? It's a parable, and he's saying there's a sower, there's good seed, there's, in the parable, it's wheat. So what's the good seed? A man went sowing good seed in his field. A man, that's the Lord, and the field is the world. So he went and he sowed good seed in that field. So what is he sowing? Is it the word? Is it divine life? What is he sowing? People. It says in 36, they went in the house where he could explain, again, the homes. That's where you get the explanation of what the Lord's talking about in the home. And he answered and said, the good seed, he sows the good seed, the Son of Man. And the 38, the field is the world. And the good seed, these are sons of the kingdom. So I'd like all the sons of the kingdom to stand up that are on campus. You are the good seed. You are the ones that the sower has sown, and on this application, the world, the field. Where'd the seed go? Well, what happened? That's what happened. He went to sow them, and they all just kind of withered away. You have to realize you have been sown as good seed on that campus.
Amen.
And that's going to be the seed for the kingdom of the heavens to be brought in, is the good seed. And it's supposed to grow, bring forth a blade, and then produce fruit. That was verse number 26. And when the blade sprouted, that means it developed. It grew. Life was flourishing, and it produced fruit. That's what the Lord has done. I don't know if you had this revelation of who you are and where the Lord has sown you, but he has put you as sons of the kingdom. Amen. On that campus.
Amen.
And what's that for? It's for bringing in the kingdom of the heavens. It says, verse 29, the kingdom of the heavens has become like a man. This is the kingdom of the heavens. If we want the kingdom of the heavens to come to earth, how's that going to happen? He's going to take good seed here. Here's a good seed. And the Son of Man is going to go cast that onto the campus. And it's supposed to grow. And it's supposed to bear fruit. Get that one. Get that one. This is the kingdom of the heavens. It's the divine life. Yes, it is in this person. But this is a seed right here. You are a seed. This is a seed coat right here. You got the seed germ inside. You got Jesus in you. Right? And so you get planted on that campus. Do you realize you're planted there? The Lord has sown you, Jordan. Jordan?
Yes.
Sown you at UC, right?
Right.
Right. Do you know you're a seed of the kingdom? You're a son of the kingdom.
Amen.
You're a kingdom son. To bring in the kingdom, to bring in the king. How's the king going to come in? He's going to sow people. He's going to sow seed, and it's going to grow. That's going to produce the kingdom.
Amen.
You have a revelation now, thank you, of who you are.
Amen.
And who sent you to that campus? Who sent you to that campus?
The Son of Man.
Amen. And what are you?
Sons of the kingdom.
Sons of the kingdom. And what are you supposed to do? Grow. I want to see some blades coming out of here. And some fruit hanging off that. And that's the kingdom of the heavens.
Amen.
You have to realize who you are.
Amen.
You're not just a student. You're not just there for an education. It's the kingdom life.
Amen.
He wants to bring in another kingdom.
Amen.
He doesn't care so much about your 4.0.
Amen.
A lot of people get 4.0s. But where are the kingdom seeds? 4.0s are not going to bring in the kingdom. Do you realize this is the only way he's going to get the kingdom? Is planting kingdom seed, sons of kingdom, in the world, and particularly on the campus? You have to see who you are. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The sons of the kingdom.